I'd like now to welcome Ethan Minsker. He is a filmmaker and artist. He made the film Self-Medicated, a film about art that screens today at 12:30 at the CCA here in Santa Fe. It's part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Hello, New Mexico and Santa Fe.
Hi. We're talking to you in New York, right?
Yes.
So you have made this film, and you are very much a part of the antagonist art movement. Tell us about this movement, the kind, how it came together, the kind of work you do.
Okay. Well, New York City is specifically really suited to birthing movements. It's a place where a lot of creative type of people move to with the hopes of chasing their dreams. But unfortunately, you get here, you realize the rents are really high, you have to have a job, and a lot of your dreams are put away for something to do later. So what our group does is we create venues for artists to give them an opportunity and also to try to pursue new creations like experiment within what they're doing. In New York, there's a lot of the art market, which really, as an artist, you can only function in that if you're already successful in making money for the gallery. So basically, in simple terms, we create events and venues that allow artists to be able to show their work, and then we try to develop their work, hoping that we'll discover something new. And that new art would hopefully change the art market and maybe the world at large.
How long has it been going on? It's over a decade, right?
Yeah, the actual art movement started in 2000 with the first art show that we did in the basement of a bar. Before the antagonist movement, I personally did a fanzine that started in 1988. So it's sort of the movement grew out of a lot of the stuff related to the fanzine I did.
It's very urban, obviously, and it's very much about collaboration as well. It's not just like a bunch of lone artists each trying to have a venue, but you work together in all sorts of ways. Talk about what some of those collaborations look like.
Okay. By mixing artists together, we hope to let the artists, you know, influence each other. One of our members, Arturo Vega, who is probably most known for being the designer who designed the Ramones logo shirt design. He also was a manager and did a lot of stuff that actually made the Ramones happen. He was a big mentor and father figure to the group. He passed away last year in the middle of us making that project. But one of the things we learned from him is that he would introduce artists to each other and then get them to work together in a collaborative effort. And by spawning that, you seem to get artists that then push each other. So in the film, like, I'm dyslexic. I don't like to read in front of people. And in the group, they wanted me to read, you know, some of my book stuff in front of a crowd. So I did that for the first time. And you'll see that there's two artists, Crispy and James. Arturo actually got them to work together. And then they started doing street art, like doing murals out on the street. And now they do them all over the world. So, you know, as an artist, you're very much a solitary person. You know, most artists, work by themselves. And the big thing with our group is that we build a social network that also allows the artist to be influenced by other artists. And that our group, you know, functions to try to push each other to do better.
They're also really supportive of each other outside of art making, basically just, you know, survival in the city.
Yeah. We don't just try to find each other work, because that's, you know, usually the main thing for surviving in New York City is to have a job. But we also, you know, have provided, like, places to live and all the sort of things that, you know, just you need to survive here in this city, and also other cities, too. So just the other day, like actually on Monday night, a bunch of us were together for an event. And, you know, you forget about how much it sort of influences each other. But, yeah, there's guys that have had work for years from this and have been introduced to different people that have helped their career. So, yeah, it's a loving, supporting community. And, you know, without that support, I probably wouldn't be, you know, doing my films and stuff either. So
we're talking to Ethan Minsker about his film Self-Medicated, a film about art. I was wondering if you'd talk about the title.
Yeah, the you know, I find there's a thing in general with most artists is that when you have to do art, you have to do it because it's the only other thing that makes you happy. It's you are self-medicating through your art. It's probably the best sort of self-medication you can do. So a lot of the film covers about this dynamic between sort of an underlying depression and then, you know, how people deal with that by pursuing their creative dreams. So yeah, Self-Medicated, a film about art. I guess that sums it up pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and it's something that you've had to deal with yourself. There's a kind of beautiful moment in the film where you're talking about how important it is to do your work about depression and about your daughter.
Yeah. So yeah, for me personally, like, you know, I grew up in Washington, D.C. I grew up around a lot of violence and a lot of horrible things happening to my friends, and compound that with being dyslexic and, you know, having a hard time through school, I basically found solace through creativity and making art and making fanzines and doing this. And, you know, when you think about that in a deeper sense, it's like every artist is looking for like-minded individuals or an audience that they're trying to communicate with. And for me personally, I always had this concept of having, you know, a child or something, and that because of the violence, you know, I wasn't ever sure that I would, you know, make it to whatever age. So by writing books and making films, it's a way to have a one-sided conversation with your child, you know, if the chance is that you think you're not going to be around. And I know that sounds really dark, but the film isn't really that dark. There's a lot of, like, you know, funny parts in it, too.
Well, the film is a film about art, and it is itself a work of art. And just for that alone, people really, I think, would love to go and see it. One of the things that I loved along the self-medicated theme is this wonderful story told by a young artist from Ecuador about how when he was a kid, he had very serious psychiatric, so-called psychiatric problems. And finally, a psychiatrist told him that his problems would be considered a gift in other cultures. And just that opened him up to an exploration that led to his being an artist. And he's an amazing artist. He fills walls with these incredible murals. He can draw. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Raul, actually, I was hanging out with him the other day, too. He has, you know, from doing that film, which, you know, actually we knew him from a project we had done a few years before called The Dolls of Lisbon, which is another film. And we met him through that. And then he came to New York and did the artist residency with us. And doing that project in the film actually got him on, like, some of the larger street blogs in New York City, which now he's doing huge murals all over the city. He's become really big and popular. Like, he's a big rising star in the New York City sort of street art scene. But, yeah, like, it's a hard thing when you're confronted with, you know, sort of what is the perception of, like, mental health. And he just happened to be lucky that he figured out a good way to deal with it, you know, through doing art. And in the film, it sort of explains is that he has sort of, like, he hears voices as a kid. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see how that's sort of manifested in what he's doing currently.
It reminded me of this, I can't remember where I saw it, but I read something about somebody who had a child who was always moving around and they didn't know what was wrong with her, and they took her to a doctor and the doctor said, she's a dancer. And so they enrolled her in dance classes and she became a world famous dancer. Anyway, so this film is called Self-Medicated, a film about art. Has the film affected the antagonist movement? I don't know if it's been out long enough, but has all kinds of people from around the world or around the country seeing it affected how you guys are seen and what you do?
Not really yet. So far, we've just been doing film festivals. It did screen in the contemporary sort of art theater down in Quito and a few cities in Ecuador. It just played in Vermont last weekend, and it's actually playing in Kansas and at the Wichita, Kansas, like a film festival there called Tall Grass in the next week or so. Right now it's only being seen in film festivals. We did actually put out a bunch of copies on DVD and then slip them in the fanzines and put them out into the, just send them out into the world. But no, I haven't gotten a lot of huge feedback from it. We have two other films before this. This is Berlin, Not New York, where we did a project in Berlin, and The Dolls of Lisbon. So those seem to be, because those are out more in the public, those have been leading to more things at this point. But hey, if there's any distributors out there that want to put our film out there, please, have a look and contact us.
Yeah, very much so. It's such an interesting movement to me, because there's a sense that when people find the antagonist movement, they know that they've found a home if they fit in. I mean, there's some, I don't know exactly how you would characterize it, but there's some sense of, this is who I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, we're a social art movement, so we're not based in any particular style or form of art, but there is sort of this, like, punkish sort of brat sort of thing to the actual aesthetics of the art that we work with. But it's more about the personality of the individual. So, we've had some really fantastic artists come in and show in our, in some of our spaces and stuff, but we didn't fit together with their personality. So we prefer to work with artists that we really, want to hang out with and get along with. And even if their work isn't exactly polished yet, we know within our group, given time, that will come along and they will become more polished, more professional, and more ready to exhibit in the bigger locations like the museums and galleries.
It's funny because it seems like that on the one hand is a goal, but on the other hand there's a kind of championing of work that can't be monetized and that shouldn't be monetized. So you're also existing in a kind of non-corporate space.
Yeah, I mean, we exist in that space between total obscurity and the mainstream art market of New York City. A bunch of our artists, and myself included, worked as art handlers in the Chelsea Gallery. So, you want to do your work first because you enjoy it and the people that you find as like-minded individuals enjoy it. Our group and our manifesto even states that you should never be concerned with the buyer. Once you're concerned with the buyer, then, you're making commercial art, and that's definitely outside of the realm of what we're interested in. But artists should have a chance to be able to make a career from their art. So we don't shy away from that. We just want them to make unique, beautiful work that is not commercially based.
The film is called Self-Medicated, a film about art. We are talking to Ethan Minsker, the filmmaker, producer, director, editor, animator, pretty much everything on this film. To find out more about the antagonist art movement, you can go to antagovision.com. The film screens today, Thursday, the 16th of October at 12:30 at the CCA here in Santa Fe as part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. Thank you so much, Ethan, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. And at the screening, we're going to be giving out free fanzines, so definitely go in and pick one up.
Awesome. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.